Welcome to this week's edition of the OHSAA Tournament Tip-Off. Now from Columbus, here is the OHSAA Radio Network's Marty Bannister.
We have reached the pinnacle of the girls' basketball season with this week's OHSAA State Tournament, which tips off Thursday at St. John Arena in Columbus. And this week began with 64 schools remaining in the boys' tournament. By the time we get to Saturday night, there will be 16 remaining. Hi, everyone. This is Marty Bannister, welcoming you to this week's edition of the OHSAA Tournament Tip-Off Show. We'll spend the next 30 minutes setting the scene for high school hoops all around Ohio. On this edition of the OHSAA Tournament Tip-Off Show, we'll talk with OHSAA Executive Director Jerry Snodgrass about Tuesday's announcements from Ohio Governor Mike DeWine and the OHSAA regarding limiting the number of fans at games over the next 2 weeks. We'll also check in with Jim DeBelt for a preview of the girls' basketball tournament. But first, let's step aside for a break for these messages from the Ohio High School Athletic Association. And when we come back, we'll get right into our interview with Jerry Snodgrass. You're listening to the OHSAA Tournament Tip-Off Show.
Here's to the ones who put in the work, the no-days-off rise-and-grind warriors who live by the oath of my body is my temple. And when their temple needs to rebuild after a long workout, athletes of all types choose low-fat chocolate milk. It's delicious and contains the right mix of protein and carbs to help refuel exhausted muscles. Chocolate milk turns Motivation Monday into Flex Friday. Crush your goals with the help of a real recovery drink. Try it for yourself. Built with chocolate milk, the official beverage of high school sports, is brought to you by the American Dairy Association Mideast.
There's nothing like high school basketball in Ohio, and the Ohio High School Athletic Association is inviting you to be a part of the excitement on the tournament trail all the way to Columbus. The OHSAA Girls Basketball State Tournament is at St. John Arena March 12th, 13th, and 14th, and the boys take the court at the Schottenstein Center March 19th, 20th, and 21st. Check out OHSAA.org for brackets, tickets, and special offers. Make a trip with friends and family to the Basketball State Tournament and be a part of history.
Spectrum News One, a new kind of news channel dedicated to refreshing storytelling and empowering communities across the Buckeye State. With your local forecast every 10 minutes and all of the essential news you need 24/7. Plus, in-depth shows and exclusives focused on your community. Always Ohio, always refreshing, always on. We are Spectrum News One, exclusively on Spectrum.
This is Jerry Snodgrass, Executive Director of the Ohio High School Athletic Association. One of my longstanding goals is to help people understand that high school sports are about so much more than wins and losses. The OHSAA promotes education-based athletics, where sports are an extension of the classroom. Our schools all want to win. There's no doubt about it. But at the end of the day, it's all about sportsmanship, leadership, and making certain that academics are a priority. Thank you for your support of high school sports in Ohio.
The OHSAA Tournament Tip-Off Show is being brought to you by Chocolate Milk. Fuel up with chocolate milk. By Max Preps, the official stats and scores provider of the OHSAA. Spectrum News One, always Ohio, always refreshing, and always on Channel 1. Aerie Sportswear, the official apparel provider of the OHSAA. And by Mercy Health, the care you need when you need it. And it's being brought to you as well by the OHSAA Radio Network, which will broadcast every game from the girls' and boys' state basketball tournaments. Girls State Tournament starts on Thursday at St. John Arena, while the Boys Tournament is March 19th through the 21st at the Schottenstein Center, also in Columbus. It was a very difficult day on Tuesday at the OHSAA when announcements were made by Ohio Governor Mike DeWine regarding limiting fans at sporting events. Shortly after those announcements, I had a chance to sit down with OHSAA Executive Director Jerry Snodgrass.
I would love to say, hey, how are you? Good to see you. Let's talk a little basketball, but we're kind of past that right now. Just take us back, Jerry, if you would, the decision announced today regarding starting with the girls' tournaments on Thursday.
You know, I'll take you way back, you know, way back to if you're in this business, you know, and I've been in it, I don't know how many years, but, you know, as an athletic director and, you know, basically an event person, if you're in this business, you look at all the what-ifs. We started looking at the what-ifs. We started looking at long-range. We looked at the Farmer's Almanac for weather forecasts, mm-hmm. You know, just to, you know, just to be prepared the best we can. And it's hard to be prepared for things you don't know, but prepare for the unknown. So I'll take you back to, you know, when the coronavirus first hit the United States. When it first hit the United States, was it Washington, I believe, we started talking amongst sport administrators in particular, like, uh-oh, we better start preparing. We better start looking at what's going to happen and the what-ifs. There's still some things you can't prepare for. One of the biggest things that developed out of this early on, the CDC said this, and, you know, when people started asking questions, is that events, mass gatherings of people, the restrictions or not restrictions on them is at the direction of the governor, the Department of Health, and the CDC. I mean, not necessarily in that order. So knowing, I often said this, you know, to someone else, not on the same scale, but when you're an athletic director and or school personnel and you have to deal with a snow day and canceling an event, at least there you're a little bit more in control of whether you're canceling it or you're going to let them go or let the game be played. Here, we weren't in control of this. But when it hit the United States, we started to say all the what-ifs. And we anticipated that the what-ifs were going to be either we can escape the time period, and we started looking at spring sports because we thought sooner or later it's going to hit.
Right.
Two, that events, because I forget who did it first, but started to have events going on with no fans. So we knew that that was going to be an option. We even looked at, I'm kind of digressing here, but we even looked at, we had a long discussion about, okay, if there's an event that no fans are allowed to attend, do we postpone it to a later date so fans can attend? Well, when the general consensus on this is that it's going to get worse before it gets better, we did not view that as a viable option. So we let that go at that point in time. So then we looked at another option of if canceled, allowed to continue with no fans, or allowed to continue with limited fans. And that's where we're at. So we had some preparation on that, but, you know, at the same time, we're going 90 mile an hour getting ready for these tournaments that, keeping in mind, we're not talking just the state girls basketball tournament right now. We're talking about a wrestling tournament that has 600 participants, probably 150 workers, you know, that work those events. And 300 schools are involved in our state wrestling tournament. Let alone, we now have regional tournaments going on in boys. This is a hard enough period of time without this issue.
Absolutely.
So, again, I'm taking you back to everything that's led up to
this. But it's good that you do that because there's nothing in the OHSAA manual where you go to page 97 and go, oh, here's how we handle coronavirus.
That is correct.
Here's how we do this. So you're kind of on the fly with everybody else in this right now and doing the best you can with this.
And not only are we, but, you know, I was asked recently about, you know, how do you address the fans and the relatives that are not able to come to a game, you know, the emotions? And one of the first things I said, and I do mean this, I understand that. You know, I was in the schools. I wasn't lucky enough to bring a team to the state tournament, but I saw my teams as an athletic director come to the state tournament. But, you know, I said, I'll tell you how I will address that. I do respect and totally understand their emotions. I do. I was one of them. At the same time, our staff is very emotional about this, too. If you can, you know, I often talk on social media about the things that go on and the things I'm so proud of that our student athletes do and our teams do, that we're so proud to work for them every single day. The culmination of that is to see the success and the thrills of being in a state tournament. We're suffering from that, too.
Absolutely.
Now, I know it's not the same
no
as a
question.
Parent, but we're not immune from it.
The executive director of the OHSAA, Jerry Snodgrass, spending a couple of minutes with us here on 93.1 The Fan, of what has been an exceptionally busy day for the OHSAA. And as I mentioned earlier, these weeks are always busy, but you top this on, or put this on top of it, rather, and it just adds to the workload and whatnot. Maybe just take everybody through what the initial process with this will be. Four tickets per student athlete or four members of the immediate family. Just maybe give us the guidelines on this.
You know, at the time that we're doing this, I think we are live, if I'm not
yes,
mistaken.
Yes, we are.
you know, probably by 7 o'clock this evening or so, we will have it detailed exactly to the schools. Because, again, we're looking at what-ifs. Mm-hmm. And when we first started talking about this, before the governor made this recommendation, you know, we said, well, if this happens, how many tickets do we give to a school? And, you know, well, give it to two parents. Well, today's world, you have step-parents. I mean, I had step-parents. Mm-hmm. You know, so, I mean, that changes that a little bit. So now all of a sudden, instead of two, it might be four. You know, the words essential and non-essential when it comes to personnel at a contest, that's a very tough, those are two tough words for us to deal with because, you know, have somebody say, you're not essential. I get it. I mean, it's the right way to say it, but that doesn't mean in our eyes they're not essential to the team or the event. We also know that we have to limit it. And when I go to the fact that the governor originally stated no fans at all, and then he said, but parents. So we have to respect that. And I do respect that, that we can't open the door to friends. We can't open the door to all these other people. So we're looking at four being a very reasonable number, reasonable from the standpoint of meeting this requirement, not reasonable for what people want. And I understand that.
Right.
So we're kind of looking at that right now. We're also looking at the fact of, and our administrators, we identify in our sports what administrators are able to get in. And I'm sure there's going to be an administrator that's, meaning an assistant somewhere, an assistant superintendent or an assistant principal that normally would have partaken in this great thrill that won't get to see it. Now, that also means we need to count on the media to make it available, you know, to listen to watch, all these things, and we'll do our part to do that.
And we thank Jerry Snodgrass for that interview. And now let's get this week's report from Chris Solwecki.
Thanks very much, Marty. It's state championship weekend for girls basketball, so let's start there. In girls Division I, number 1, 2, and 7 reached the promised land. A participant in last year's Final Four is back again, even though they're not in the AP Top 10. Canton Glen Oak got past number 9, Stowe Monroe Falls, on the way to the Final Four. They'll face number 2, Newark, in one state semifinal on Friday. On the other side of that D1 bracket, defending state champion Cincinnati Mountain Notre Dame is back to defend their title. They're the number 1 team in the AP, had to beat number 3, Kettering Fairmont, in the regional finals. Their semifinal opponent will be number 7, Toledo Notre Dame. In Division 2, number 7, Beloit West Branch is in. They beat number 6, Shaker Heights Laurel, 41-37 to get to St. John's Arena. They'll face Dayton Carroll in one semifinal matchup. Number 8, Dresden Tri-Valley upset number 1, seeded Circleville's Tigers, 45-43 in overtime. Their reward, the number 3 team in Division 2, Napoleon, who defeated Willard 54-37. Napoleon is a perfect 27-0. In Division 3, what a matchup is on deck for us in one semifinal contest as number 1 Berlin Highland, number 4 Elyria Catholic combined with a record of 53-2 on the season. In the other semifinal matchup, Anna at 20-6 has emerged as a state semifinalist. They'll face number 2 Columbus Afrocentric, last year's state champion, who defeated number 7 Ottawa Glandorf 38-34 to punch their ticket to St. John's Arena. And in Division 4, number 1 and number 8 are in. Number 1 Fort Loramie advances after defeating number 6 Cincinnati Country Day. Fort Loramie will face Willoughby Cornerstone Christian, who makes a trip to the Final Four for the second season in a row. On the other side of that bracket, number 8, Minster, who are the defending state champs, are back again. They'll face Beverly Fort Fry, who upset number 2, Portsmouth Notre Dame, 49-31, on the way to the Final Four. It all begins with Division 2 on Thursday afternoon at 1 and 3 p.m., followed by Division 4 at 6 and 8 p.m. Friday, Division 3 will play at 1 and 3, followed at 6 and 8 by Division 1. Congratulations to all 16 of the state qualifiers in girls basketball. On the boys' side of the ledger, things are murkier to be certain. In boys Division 1, number 2 Lakewood St. Edward will face Lorraine in a regional semifinal matchup. Number 5 Hilliard Bradley, number 9 Columbus Walnut Ridge are a Region 3 semifinal matchup on the 11th at 7 p.m. at Ohio Dominican University. Cincinnati Archbishop Moeller is the number 1 team in the AP in Division 1. They will face Centerville on the 11th at Xavier. Should they win, they get the winner of number 9 Cincinnati LaSalle and number 8 Liberty Township Lakota East, who follows Centerville and Moeller on the 11th. What a doubleheader that'll be. Shuffling over to Division II, numbers 1, 2, 3, 5, and 8 have advanced to regional play. Number 1, Lima Shawnee needs to beat Upper Sandusky, while number 8, Toledo Rogers, needs to get past Parma Heights Holy Name. If both of those things happen, it'll be number 1 versus number 8 for the right to play in the state semifinals. Number 2, Akron St. Vincent St. Mary. Number 5, Cleveland Heights Lutheran East. Last year's Division III runners-up are on a similar course. If each wins their regional semifinal game, they'll face off with a berth in the state Final Four on the line. The soonest number 3, Trotwood Madison, who are the defending state champs in Division III, would face another AP top team, is in the state semifinals. They could potentially see number 1, Lima Shawnee. Number 8, Toledo Rogers. In Division 3, numbers 1, 2, 4, 6, 9, and 10 all advance. The bottom of the bracket is where much of the action is, as number 1, Harvest Prep, the defending state champions, and number 9, Chillicothe Zane Trace square off in a Region 11 semifinal matchup. On the other side of Region 11, it's number 6, Proctorville Fairland, number 10, West Lafayette Ridgewood, with the winners playing for a state semifinal berth next weekend. By the way, Region 11 happening on March 11th at the Ohio University Convocation Center. Number 2, Ottawa Glandorf stands alone in Region 10. Number 4, Cincinnati Deer Park stands alone in Region 12. And in Boys Division 4, 7 of the AP Top 10 advance to regional play. 3 teams are in Region 15, where number 8, Berlin Highland, last year's state runners-up in Division 4, and number 4, Peebles, are set to battle in the regional semifinals. Also in 15, number 10, Gloucester Trimble, will see the winner of that Berlin Highland Peebles battle should they win their semifinal tilt versus Grandview Heights. In Region 14, number 1 and number 2, Columbus Grove and Antwerp play in one semifinal matchup, and it should be a dandy. And in Region 13, number 5, Lucas, and number 7, Richmond Heights, who made it to the state semifinals a year ago, could potentially see each other in the regional finals at Canton Fieldhouse on the 13th. For the OHSAA Radio Network, I'm Chris Sulwecki.
Chris, thank you very much. And now we will allow our local stations to share a few messages from their local sponsors. When we come back, we'll get a preview of this week's Girls Basketball State Tournament with Jim DeBelt. You're listening to the OHSAA Tournament Tip-Off Show.
Max Preps is your source for high school sports. From schedules to stats, live scores, rosters, video, and photos, Max Preps has it all. And when you download the Max Preps app, you can add your favorite teams and get notified on the go. Have your own personalized scoreboards and stay updated on the latest news surrounding your high school team. As a proud partner of the Ohio High School Athletic Association, Max Preps wishes every student, athlete, and coach out there a very...
The year was 1907. The Cubs won the World Series and the Ford Model R hit the assembly line. While here in Ohio, school administrators came together to form the Ohio High School Athletic Association. One thing that hasn't changed since 1907 is the dedication of the OHSAA to education-based athletics in Ohio. School sports teach responsibility, sportsmanship, and life lessons that stay with students long after their playing days are over. The OHSAA seeks to prepare students not for the next level of sport, but for the next level of life.
Looking for future leaders we can believe in? Look no further than the high school student athletes right here in Ohio. High school sports teach young people how to be effective leaders. It includes learning to listen, accepting responsibility, being a good role model, and it's about respect. The result, it transcends sports. It gives us hope for the future. This message presented by the Ohio High School Athletic Association and the Ohio Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
The game is over. But this time, instead of asking how many goals did you score or what were your stats, try asking these questions. Were you a good teammate? Were you coachable? Did you give 100%? And did you have fun? Because those are the values that school sports instill in Ohio's young people, where winning and losing are secondary to the life lessons that will stay with kids long after their playing days are over. This is the Ohio High School Athletic Association. Educate through sports.
And welcome back to this edition of the OHSAA Tournament Tip-Off. I'm Marty Bannister. Time now to welcome in Jim DeBelt to preview this week's Girls Basketball State Tournament. Jim has covered the last 34 Girls Basketball State Tournaments and produces the DeBelt Report on the top girls basketball players in the state of Ohio. Let's start with Division Four. Those games will get underway on Thursday, and the first two games in the section of Division Four, we'll start with the Willoughby Cornerstone Christian Fort Loramie game. I know a lot of people are expecting Fort Loramie just to kind of run roughshod through this thing because of the season that they had. Break down that game for us.
You know, Fort Loramie is one of the three undefeated teams that are left, and I believe they're the deepest team in the state tournament. They put a lot of pressure on you. They like to defend. They love to get it and go, score in the transition game. They don't have a real big-time score, unlike a lot of these teams. They just have a lot of kids, 10 kids that come off the bench. I call it like a hockey line change. Carla Siegel will bring in five more, and then she'll bring in four more. And, you know, she does that all the time. And, you know, their best player, Dana Rose, who's all-district kid this year, you know, they have some kids like Kenzie Holscher, Marissa Myring, and then coming off the bench, Ava Schultes, a sophomore that a lot of people are starting to catch an eye on. I look for them to obviously come out, put a lot of pressure on Cornerstone Christian. You know, the Patriots are 22-5. They have sisters that are going to Ursuline next year, Madison and Michaela Clunan. Riley Stopp, the 5'11 junior, also averages double figures at 11.5 points a game. And I look for them. This is their third time at state in their history in the last, you know, 6-5 years. So, you know, they know what to expect, but Fort Loramie's defense is very, very strong, and I look for them to put a lot of pressure on the Patriots this weekend.
The second game of the doubleheader will be Beverly Fort Frye at 26-2, taking on 22-5 Minster. Once again, one of those Midwest Athletic Conference teams. Two-time defending state champs are back. Mike Wiss has another talented basketball team.
You know, Mike just won his 100th game in the regionals, and he's done a great job on a team that everybody wrote off after they lost all those senior post players last year. But what they didn't realize is they have who I think is the best Division IV guard in the state of Ohio, Ivy Wolf, coming in at over 20 points a game, great outstanding point guard, Janae Hoying, a shooting guard at about 12.5 points a game. They're two-time champions, and they're here for a reason. The kids know how to win, and they're going to, you know, they're going to have a good challenge with the Fort Frye team that's a very young lineup with only one senior. Hannah Archer is a sophomore, leads the way at 15 points a game. You know, in the cadets, you know, this is their second time at state, but the first time since 2013. So it's new for all these kids. So it's going to be how do you handle the pressure of playing a team that was here the last 2 years.
All right, Jim, let's move on to Division III now. And the upper half of the bracket finds the fourth-ranked team, 26-1, Elyria Catholic, taking on another one of those perennial powers when you think girls high school basketball in the state of Ohio. The name Berlin Highland always seems to come to the top of the list. The number one in the state at 27-1, Dave Schlabel with another talented team.
You know, Dave does a great job up there. It's a basketball factory over at Highland. You know, they host the classic in the country, so everybody knows the facility. They work hard to get to where they're at right now. They beef up their schedule in the non-conference. This is their 17th Final Four appearance in school history. Could you just imagine that? Just 17 times, five-time champions. You know, they've got Morgan Yoder going to Ashland, Zoe Miller, the Division I kid, going to Bowling Green, who's a 6'1 junior, and Bryn Mullett, a kid that's really come into her own as a junior. They got their three best players are juniors. So you know what that means. You know, they'll be gunning for number 18, but you know, first they got to get through this weekend with Elyria Catholic coming in 26-1. Abby and Allie Winnen both going to Saginaw Valley next year are seniors, both 6-1 seniors. You know, the Panthers, you know, they look to have to try to slow down a team that's traditionally prepares themselves for this weekend as good or better than anybody in the state of Ohio. Dave Schlabel does a great job, and they've been here, like I said, 17 times. So they know exactly what they're getting into this weekend.
The other half of the bracket finds another one of those perennial powers, and that's Columbus Afrocentric, the number two ranked team in the state in Division III, and they're taking on the 22-6 Anna Rockets. I think again, it's one of those situations, Jim, where most people expect Afrocentric to roll into the state championship game.
You know, the Afrocentric, the Nubians are. You look at their history, and it seems like they're at the state every year. You look at the 2019, 18, 17, it just goes all the way back. And they're always, you know, they're seven-time champions. So I believe that's actually tied for the most state championships. So, you know, Afrocentric, they got three Division I kids in the lineup, Niamh Thornton going to Texas Tech, Sakima Walker going to Rutgers, and Alexia Smith going to Minnesota. You know, and it's going to be interesting to see what Will McKinney does. You know, he has this team – flying right now. You know, they score a lot of points. They score 80 points a game. They pressure the heck out of you. And Anna's going to be in for, obviously, their toughest opponent of the year so far. You know, with the, you know, no disrespect to Fort Loramie, it's a different, little more of a different athletic kind of team they're going to be facing. But Anna comes in 22-6. You know, most historians, as I wrote for the OHSAA, remember, you know, they're two-time state champions back in the early 2010s-15 range. They've been here before. Now, these kids haven't, but ironically, their assistant coach was on one of those teams, so she can kind of maybe mentally get them prepared to what to expect. But, you know, Ella Dosek, who's a junior guard, Lauren Barhorse, who's a senior post player, both averaging double figures. They're a good defensive team, a balanced team, but, you know, they're going to see an Afrocentric team Thursday that's going to really put a lot of pressure on them.
Right, let's move on to Division II now, Jim, where, again, another one of those names that we all associate with Powers and girls high school basketball awaits in one half of the semis. That's 23-5 Dayton Carroll. They'll take on the 7th-ranked team, 24-3 Beloit West Branch, in the opener of the Division II semis.
You know, Carroll's a team, you know, they're a very balanced team. You know, you look at their team and, you know, Julia Keller is their best player, a 6-foot senior, averaging over 13 points a game. But then, you know, their lineup, they have a sophomore who's having a great year, Sarah Oaks, Ava Licklider, Megan Laris, both juniors. You know, they just seem to, they just, methodically, they get the job done. They come in, they win a good regional championship game last weekend in Springfield. And the Patriots are going to come in. They have, you know, they finished second last year. They lost to Toledo Rogers in the state championship game. Beloit West Branch is a team, you know, with Peyton Alizos, who's going to Pitt Johnstown, is their best player at 13.5 points a game. You know, and this is their fourth time at the state tournament. The first, actually, they won the state championship about 16 years ago, but they haven't been here since 2015. You know, they only give up 32 points a game, which is a very good defensive team. So the Warriors and the Carroll Patriots are going to be a really fun opening Division II game on Friday.
All right, the second game finds Dresden Tri-Valley taking on undefeated Napoleon. Now, Dresden Tri-Valley got to the state semifinals by beating the state's number one ranked team, previously unbeaten Circleville. Napoleon comes to the game unbeaten. This, on paper, looks to be a pretty good matchup, Jim.
Yeah, Tri-Valley, they're a young team. You know, they have three seniors in the lineup, but their best player is only a freshman, and she's just getting better, Lexi Howe. And Kendall House, her sister, who's a senior, also is a major factor in that team. You know, but the Scotties, a team that, you know, like you said, knocked off one previously undefeated team. They hope to do that again with Napoleon, who comes in 27-0. They have three kids that are in double figures, are really close to it. Shea Pedroza is a senior going to Lourdes next year. Taylor Strock is a junior, along with Kaylee Ressler, both averaging double figures. You know, Napoleon's a team that, you know, a lot of people now are looking to run the table. But they have a tall test in front of them with Tri-Valley, a team that's heating up at the right time. They know how to beat the good teams, which they just did in the regionals. And they hope it carries over to Friday afternoon.
All right, let's wrap up with Friday night, Jim, and that's Division I. And we look at the first game of the doubleheader. It's 26-2 Newark, the second-ranked team in the state, taking on perhaps the best story to make it to the state tournament in many, many a year, and that's 20-7 Canton. Glen Oak lost almost everybody off the team that got back to the state tournament last year. Somehow they got back this year. Paul Wackerly did a great job. Let's look at that first matchup, Newark and Canton and Glen Oak.
You know, you mentioned that, and what a story that is. You know, Glen Oak lost all those great players, and the kids just worked hard, and they believed in his system. Mm-hmm. And their backs playing in Columbus this weekend, Alexis Lemire, averaging 13 points a game, for a team that, you know, is making their fifth trip to the state Final Four. They've lost seven games. Obviously, those seven losses are the most losses of any team at the state Final Four. So it's kind of peaking at the right time, and they're doing that. They got a tall task in front of them with Newark, a team which I really like out of the Columbus area. Gabby Stair going to Ohio Dominican, one of my favorite players in the state, just so smooth on the floor as a senior. Emma Shoemate, a junior, going to West Virginia, a 6'1 kid. Both those kids, coach's daughter, J.R. Shoemate, will have them. They finished number two in the state AP poll. And I look for them to, they're really, you know, if they can get by Glen Oak, I look for them to really challenge for the state championship. A lot of people are just giving Mount Notre Dame the championship, which they very well could win it again. But don't write Newark out. It's a team that just gets the job done, and they know how to win.
Yeah, Jim, you referenced Cincinnati, Mount Notre Dame. They await in the other half of the bracket in Division I, 28-0, ranked number one in the state. They get the seventh ranked, 24-3, Toledo Notre Dame Academy squad. And as you mentioned, everyone thinks that Mount Notre Dame is going to run the table this year, but that could be an interesting game with Toledo Notre Dame Academy.
Very much so. You know, Cincinnati, Mount Notre Dame, undefeated, defending state champions. And they also won the state championship in 2017. So for like the seniors, they're very familiar to be here right now. Makara Cook's a senior. She's going to the University of Dayton this year at 17.5 points a game. The kid everybody really likes, who's a number one sophomore in the state of Ohio, KK Bransford, averaging over 20. Everybody in the country is looking to get her name on the national letter of intent here in a couple years. But, you know, Doc Rogers is doing it, just does a great job. You know, he has the kids prepared. They outscore their opponents by 30 points. Notre Dame Academy, another team that's very familiar with Columbus. You know, they've made several trips to the state Final Four. A kid that I really like that a lot of people are going to enjoy watching is a sophomore, Grace Van Sluten. She's a 6'2 kid. She's one of the top three sophomores in the state, averaging 15.5 points a game. Olivia Sims, a junior guard averaging 12 points a game, is another kid who really makes them go. So, like you said, that's going to be an interesting game. Van Sluten, a kid that's really rising up a lot of the national rankings. So, you know, Mount Notre Dame and Toledo Notre Dame will wrap up the Final Four on Friday, heading into the championship Saturday. It's going to be a lot of fun to see, you know, who comes out of the big school division on Friday night.
Jim DeBelt, great breakdown as always. We appreciate your time, and we look forward to seeing you at St. John Arena this week.
My pleasure, Mark. Look forward to seeing you also.
And again, our thanks to Jim DeBelt. We're going to take one more break for these messages from the Ohio High School Athletic Association. And when we return, we'll hear from several broadcasters around the state and then wrap up this edition of the OHSAA Tournament Tip-Off. We will be right back.
Spectrum News One, a new kind of news channel dedicated to refreshing storytelling and empowering communities across the Buckeye State. With your local forecast every 10 minutes and all of the essential news you need 24/7. Plus, in-depth shows and exclusives focused on your community. Always Ohio, always refreshing, always on. We are Spectrum News One, exclusively on Spectrum.
The Ohio High School Athletic Association State Championships are the pinnacle of every high school season.
It is up and it is good! A game-winning field goal from 31 yards away, and that is how Hartley repeats as the Division IV state champions.
The OHSAA Radio Network brings you the play-by-play call for the football championships and the state tournaments in girls and boys basketball, baseball, and softball.
Base hit to center field, and the ball game is over. The Defiance Bulldogs have just won the Ohio State Division II baseball title.
With more than 60 partner radio stations, the OHSAA Radio Network delivers countless memories from OHSAA championships.
They're certainly peaking at the right time, clicking on all cylinders coming into the state tournament.
On the air, online, and on your mobile device, you're listening to the OHSAA Radio Network.
Let's take a time out to talk about educational athletics. That means the school sports are an extension of the classroom. Student athletes earn the privilege of participation in sports by succeeding during the school day first, before they put on the team uniform after. Student athletes prove that with better attendance records, higher GPAs, and fewer discipline issues than non-student athletes. That's what it means to be a part of the Ohio High School Athletic Association.
This message presented by the Ohio High School Athletic Association.
And we welcome you back to this edition of the OHSAA Tournament Tip-Off Show. I'm Marty Bennett. Time now to hear from radio broadcasters around the state with reports on the top teams from their areas. Let's start, first of all, in North Central Ohio. Here's Bill Rice from Findlay's WFIN.
The top-seeded Ottawa Glandorf boys muscled their way into the District 3 regionals with a 69-44 win over Wayne Trace on Saturday. Junior Owen Nichols had a game-high 18 points. Senior Ben Westrick scored 12 and grabbed 15 rebounds. Next up for the 24-1 Titans, Colonel Crawford in a regional semifinal game at Bowling Green State University. The Columbus Grove boys are heading to the regionals in Division 4 after a district final win over Kaleida. The 25-0 and top-ranked Bulldogs got 18 points and 10 rebounds from Blake Reynolds, Player of the Year in both the Putnam County League and the Northwest Conference. The second straight trip to the regionals will match Columbus Grove against number 2 Antwerp at Bowling Green State University. In the Division 1 regionals, Lima Senior will battle Toledo Start at the University of Toledo. Spartans advance with a 57-54 win over Toledo St. John's on Saturday. For Lima Senior, their second straight year in the regionals and the fourth time in the last six seasons. And in Division 2, Brett Montgomery knocked in a game-winning three-pointer with 1.5 seconds left to give the Upper Sandusky Rams a 60-59 win over Norwalk in the district final game Saturday night. The 24-1 Rams will now face undefeated and number 1 Lima Shawnee at Bowling Green State University in the regional semis. From WFIN in Findlay, this is Bill Rice for the OHSAA Tournament Tip-Off Show.
Bill, great report. Thanks very much. Now let's head to Oberlin. Here's Don Vincent from WOBL.
The boys' tournament took its toll on local teams, and only a couple locals are still in the hunt, and they match up in a regional semifinal in Akron. The Lorain High Titans have had to withstand a tough season. They were beat up with injuries and had to endure a midseason slump before they corrected things and ended the season with a 14-8 mark. Five guys averaging double figures, led by Seth Wilson, who's averaging a double-double, make this Titans team a tough out. Lorain High, however, gets to take on the number 2 Division 1 school in the state, the 24-1 St. Edward's Eagles. Eds does pretty much what they always do. They walk onto the court, they beat teams up, and they walk off with a win. The Eagles average almost 74 points a game and give up about 55. Devontae Blanton and Grant Huffman lead a deep group of six other seniors poised to make a trip to Columbus. On the ladies' side of things, the number 4 ranked Elyria Catholic Panthers are the only local ladies' squad still playing. The Panthers are led by 1,000-point scorer forward Allie Winnem. She's helped out by her twin sister Abby, Kaylee and Stephanie Griffin, also twins, Julie Allegretto, Emily Rapaz, and sharpshooter Annika Bradell coming in off the bench. The Panthers were 21-1 during the regular season, losing only to D2 powerhouse Laurel early in the season. They'll follow up their semifinal trip to Columbus 2 years ago by taking on number 1-ranked Berlin Highland at St. John Arena Friday afternoon. From WOBL in Oberlin and WDLW in Lorain, I'm Don Vincent for the OHSAA Tournament Tip-Off Show.
Let's head now to Central Ohio. Here's Todd Bell from Spectrum Sports and the OHSAA Radio Network.
Marty, Central Ohio will be represented by a pair of teams in this weekend's Girls State Basketball Tournament. In Division 1, the Newark Wildcats, who are ranked number 2 in the final state poll, will be making their third trip to the Final Four, all since 2015. They will take on Glen Oak in a Friday semifinal. In Division 3, Afrocentric will be making their fifth consecutive and 11th overall state Final Four appearance. The Nubians will begin defense of their back-to-back state championships by playing Anna on Friday afternoon. In the boys' regionals, first in Division 1 at Ohio Dominican University on Wednesday, Walnut Ridge, who upset the state's number 3 team, Gahanna, will get another state-ranked team in their semifinal as they will take on Hilliard-Bradley, a team that they beat by 1 point during the regular season. Then on Thursday, Thomas Worthington, who won its first district title since 2001 last Saturday, will play Westerville Central, who won their first ever district title this past weekend. In Division 2, St. Francis DeSales will play New Philadelphia on Wednesday night at Ohio University. The Stallion used overtime to knock off Jonathan Alder in their district final. Also at OU on Wednesday, Logan Elm will play Meadowbrook. And on Thursday at UD Arena, it'll be Beechcroft, which defeated rival Eastmore 39-36 to advance to the regional semifinal against Kettering Alter. In Division 3, two late free throws for the state's number 1 team and defending state champs Harvest Prep gave them a 2-point win over Worthington Christian. They will now play Zane Trace on Wednesday at Ohio University. For the OHSAA Radio Network, this is Todd Bell.
And finally, let's head to Lima in northwest Ohio. Here's the voice of the Bowling Green State University Falcons, Todd Walker.
The Lima and West Central Ohio area will be well represented this week at the regional tournaments for boys high school basketball. In Division 1, the Lima Senior Spartans beat Toledo St. John's. It's the fourth district title in 6 years under head coach Quincy Simpson. Last year, Lima lost to St. Vincent St. Mary in the regional championship game. In Division 2, top-ranked undefeated Shawnee took care of Defiance, with George Manga scoring 40 points to move into the regional for a second consecutive year. Last year, Shawnee got to the regional final before losing to Columbus South. In Division 3, Ottawa Glandorf, whose only loss came to Shawnee, routed Wayne Trace to move back to the regional after a one-year absence. It's the seventh time in 9 years under coach Tyson McLaughlin They've won the district title. In Division IV, top-ranked undefeated Columbus Grove defeated Putnam County League rival Kaleida to take a district title for the second straight year. And Parkway from Mercer County and the Midwest Athletic Conference beat Marion Local for their first ever district title. Meanwhile, on the girls' side, our area has just one representative at the state tournament, two-time defending champion Minster. Minster had no trouble with Wayne Trace in the regional final, and if they can get to the championship game, they may play Fort Loramie again, a team they defeated in the regional final the previous two seasons. The teams played in the opening week of the season with top-ranked undefeated Fort Loramie rolling Minster 47-19. I'm Todd Walker from WIMA in Lima for the OHSAA Tournament Tip-Off Show.
Todd, thanks very much, and that will do it for this week's edition of our show. I would like to thank all my guests on today's show, including OHSAA Executive Director Jerry Snodgrass, as well as Jim DeBelt, and all of our OHSAA Radio Network affiliates for being with us as well. On next week's show, we'll break down the boys' basketball state tournament with Kurt Stubbs. On behalf of the Ohio High School Athletic Association and our executive producer, Tim Streed, I'm Marty Bannister. The OHSAA Tournament Tip-Off Show is a production of the OHSAA Radio Network.